Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Tremorville Turmoil Fame Sign Guy here with you here on another Sunday afternoon. QT Vokes also with us, and some show notes before we jump into things today. If you're looking for wrestling today, Reactivate Pro Wrestling happening in Richland, Washington, WAC in Everett, Washington, Primetime Wrestling happening in Paris, Kentucky, and Blue Collar Wrestling happening in Portland, Oregon today. The World's Finest Wrestling Show is scheduled for today in Connersville, Indiana, canceled due to a problem with the building. So if you were planning to go there, do not. I was supposed to be at the Reactivate Pro Show, but due to the weather conditions in the mountains expected later this evening, I was unable to be on that show. But if you're in the Richland, Washington area, anywhere in the Tri-Cities, go check out Reactivate Pro Wrestling. Going to be a good show tonight. I was hoping to make it, but due to severe storm advisories, it didn't seem like a prudent choice. But I hope to make it up next month there in Richland. QT, our guest, will be here in just a few moments, but it looks like there's a lot of wrestling going on today.
So, Stein Guy, who is scheduled to be in the main event in Richland?
J.D. Mason versus the Dynamic Rook Kelly.
Wow. Now, as you know, J.D. Mason, I believe he has been ranked number one before in our Turnbuckle Turmoil, top 9 7/8, but I don't think Rook Kelly ever has.
I don't believe he has. J.D. actually was a two-time number one spot holder earlier this year. Also, where would you say we can find today's top 9 7/8 rankings for the week?
They will have to come out tomorrow based on flash results of the card in Richmond.
Alpha Reactor. Will they be on the Facebook page of Ron Hess?
I'm going to be taking applications today. That always goes over very well.
Sometimes it does.
Yeah. Now, Sign, you had earlier posted on Facebook, any wrestling help or wrestling tips from wrestlers on how the past conditions were. Can you fill in on Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners how many responses you got? And was any by the Weather Channel?
Actually, Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame member Princess Victoria sent me a link to the Weather Channel update in the area. That's how I was able to see that the storm is moving in later this evening, around the time that Reactivate Pro is scheduled to start, and it was supposed to drop around 5 to 14 inches of snow, plus heavy winds, which would cause drifting snow conditions.
Well, thank you, Princess Victoria, if you're out there and listening. Boy, Sign, now that would have been terrible past conditions. I myself was at work in Puyallup at 6 in the morning, and it started hailing, and the temperature suddenly dropped to 37 degrees. So if it was hailing down in Puyallup, you could imagine what it was doing on the passes. You were wise to stick to the western part.
Absolutely. I think I could have gotten there all right, but getting home may have been a little dicey, so I took the prudent course of action and sat this one out. But hopefully next month, passes will be clear and I'll be able to get back to Reactivate Pro.
What day next month is Reactivate Pro holding their matches?
I will have to double check on that, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they would be running on the 29th.
Oh, okay. Now, isn't next month the month we have St. Patty's Day?
It is the 17th of March, always St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, okay. But, that's a little bit early for the Reactivate Pro Wrestling card to hold St. Patty's Day in a wrestling match in the same venue.
Yes. And it looks like QT, our guest, has joined us. So let's bring her on right away. Paloma Star, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Hello. How's it going?
Going very well. We would like to welcome you back to the program. It's been a very, very long time since you've been with us, and we are excited to have you back. In that time span,
it has been a while.
It has, and since we last spoke, I've been extremely curious, and I've been following the story very, very closely. You and a former opponent of mine, Shauna Reed, have had issues over a jacket. Can you fill us in on the latest with the jacket?
Definitely. Jacket has finally come home. I finally have my jacket back. This has been going on for over a year, and we have fought all over, I believe it was 3 different states, 4 different companies, now 5, over the jacket. She actually sold my jacket from me last year, but I was able to get it back this past February 8th at War, and a jacket on a pole match. So that was definitely interesting. I think that's definitely the only way I could get that, had to be settled. So yay, finally have my jacket back. I really missed it, so I'm glad that's over with, and I'm glad I have it back.
Your jacket made a lot of trips. Shauna Reed would show off pictures of that jacket in shows all over the place where she was appearing. How did it make you feel knowing that your jacket was out there traveling the country while you were traveling the country on a different path, separate from your jacket?
I was actually fine with it. I let Shauna keep it for a little bit longer since it made her look a little bit better. So, you know, it's always cool to help out those in need. So I was helping her out in that aspect. But definitely I was still traveling myself, and Shauna was traveling too. So just as long as I knew I was going to get my jacket back to me, that's all that mattered. And now it's back home where it's supposed to be. So.
You, like we said, have been traveling quite a bit in your career. You've wrestled in several states, all the way down to Texas, up into the Midwest quite a bit. In Texas, you got the chance to wrestle in your hometown in front of friends and family not that terribly long ago. What was the feeling like when you make it to your hometown and you get to have the people that you grew up with watch you for most likely the first time in person?
That was like such a cool feeling, especially because it was the first time so many of not only my friends but my family actually got to see me wrestle. And the cool part about it was back home in El Paso, Texas, and the venue where the wrestling show was at, I was actually at that building for my senior year high school dance. I was voted lady in waiting, and I was like part of the royal court, had like a little crown, pretty dress and everything. So it's crazy being able to come back to the same building where I was there my senior year for a dance and actually get to do what I love and wrestle in front of my friends and family. That was really cool. My mom has seen me wrestle before, but I think the biggest impact for me was seeing my little cousin, who's just like a little sister to me, see me wrestle. She's actually was a huge wrestling fan when, you know, at the time when everybody was then growing up. And she actually told me that she didn't know what to expect. She actually thought it was going to be like kind of hokey, kind of corny. But then afterwards, she like came up to me. She's like, "I am so proud of you." She's like, "I didn't know it was gonna be like this." She's like, "You're actually really good," and it was really fun and fun to watch like just the whole show in general. And she even got almost a little like teary eyed telling me that. So that really meant a lot coming from her because she's never seen me wrestle before. And like I said, she's like a sister to me, and she's actually like completely opposite of me personality-wise, lifestyle-wise, anything-wise. So see her actually come support me in doing something that I love actually meant a lot. And my friends are so cool. My friends have been supportive since day one. They're huge wrestling fans. They would probably be there even if I was wrestling or not. So it was just really cool to hang out and being able to do what I love in front of my friends and family. I really hope I get to do that more often.
As someone that has been all over the map and has been to several different promotions in several different areas, you know that the venues can vary quite a bit. We have some really, really nice venues, and we have some venues that make us question why we are there at times. Professional wrestling can be put into just about anywhere that the ring can fit and a promoter is willing to have a show. In your opinion, what would some of the better venues where you wrestled be?
That's a really good question because I felt like I had those two instances just happen this weekend. Well, not so much venue-wise, but locker room-wise. First show was a tiny, tiny, tiny locker room where I legit was standing in a corner next to a plant. And everybody else had to even, like, file out outside because there was not enough room. And then the show that I did yesterday was a huge locker room. It was a community center. But I was actually been able to perform in civic centers before, like the Lima, Ohio Civic Center. That was really nice. Civic Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. But that's where, like, all the, like, WWE goes whenever they do go there. And a really unique venue that I got to perform was in Wyoming where they were having Monster Truck, Demolition Derby, and wrestling in one venue and one night, not at the same time because that would have been crazy, but all in one night, and that was it. I think it held about 5,000 people, and there was about like 3,000 people there, and it was in the middle. The ring was in the middle of the arena, and it was just surrounded by dirt. So it was really cool. It was definitely a different experience, but definitely got to see a lot of cool venues in my times that I have traveled, and lots of definitely interesting venues, just like you said. Wrestled in a barn before, wrestled in parking lots, wrestled at outside of a taco restaurant. You name it, I probably have wrestled at it.
At this taco restaurant, did they have sriracha available for you?
Unfortunately, they did not have sriracha available for me, but they did had some really good chile verde and some red sauce as well, too. So that was really good. So I was still satisfied with that. I just love anything spicy. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sriracha is number one for sure, without a doubt. But I just love anything and everything spicy. Perfect example is yesterday I went to some random super huge flea market and they had a hot sauce store. And they had a lollipop that's the hottest lollipop in the world. It was called Satan's Toe. And it was 9 million Scoville units. And I ate a piece of it. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is fine. Like my tongue felt weird. And I hated the flavor because of the cinnamon flavor. But even the guy that gave it to me, he's like, you're a beast. Like, are you okay? Check your pulse. Because he was definitely tripping out. So I was just like, oh, okay, this is fine. So, yeah. Definitely love me some spicy stuff.
Now, if it entices you to wrestle up here in the Pacific Northwest, we have a promotion that runs in a Mexican restaurant in Bremerton, Washington. There's Mexican food being served while the patrons watch live professional wrestling. I think that might be a great fit for you.
Oh, definitely. I would love to go check it out there sometime. That would be amazing.
Once in a while, Kevin Sullivan even pops in there.
Oh, really? Nice.
Now, also, since you do travel quite a bit to different states, you're going to come across states that have athletic commissions athletic commissions, like the venues, also vary quite a bit place to place. A lot of the states, like, for example, Indiana, don't have a commission at all. Some of them where you wrestle, like, for example, Illinois would have an athletic commission. As a general rule, what do you think about the idea behind athletic commissions controlling wrestling for the various states?
I feel like you've been listening to my conversations. I legit was just having a conversation about athletic commissions this past weekend. So all of a sudden, yeah, they're very topical as I've just recently discussed them. But I actually think there is a place for athletic commissions if they are providing a service and the need to the wrestlers themselves. If they're providing safety, if they're providing any other resources. But unfortunately, most of these athletic commissions are just there for money. It's just a money grab. It's just you pay them. For example, I had no idea Ohio had an athletic commission, but they do. But it's only mainly for the promoters. They have to pay $100 per show, and it's a $300 to get their license. Nothing for the wrestlers, but all they do is just collect money. Don't provide any services, no resources, no like added safety, nothing like that. And I've worked in Oklahoma extensively, especially earlier in my career, and they're one of the toughest commissions I've dealt with, where they have somebody there and they have the whole like men can touch women, women can touch men sometimes, but there was even an instance where somebody got in trouble for touching a woman's ankle in a wrestling match. Like, it's very ridiculous. I get it why they're there, but it would be more of a benefit if it actually helped wrestlers out as opposed to just nickel and dime them.
I agree with you there. A lot of states, you don't see the commission until it's time to pay the taxes. Now, also in professional wrestling, we know that the wrestling schools are much different now than they were, say, 25, 30 years ago. It's much easier to get into wrestling schools. A lot of the more prominent ones are easier to find. So if people are trying to get into the wrestling business, it's easier now than it was a generation or two ago. Based on what you've seen firsthand and based on what you've experienced with people that come from these schools, what would you say are some of the better schools out there right now if someone is considering getting into the wrestling business?
Yeah, definitely. You're so right that I feel there's more availability of schools. Like, when I first started wrestling, like, even before I started even training, I had no idea there was even a such thing as wrestling schools. Since I grew up in Mexico, wrestling was very, like, a family business. Like, you were a wrestler because your dad, your brother, your mom, your sister, or anything like that were, or even your uncle was in wrestling. And I had no idea you could actually become a wrestler. I just thought you just were a wrestler. So I got told, like, well, have you ever thought about being a wrestler? I'm like, wait, you mean I could actually, like, learn how to do this? For me, I had no idea that there was even such things as wrestling school. So now with social media, the internet, and so many more people becoming professional wrestlers, there's more wrestling schools. But in the area, what I'm familiar with, Fling Academy is a really good place to train at here in Chicago. A lot of people have came out of there, and their head trainers are really reputable, and they know what they're talking about. And plus, Freelance is a cool place to work at too. And also Black and Brave, which is Seth Rollins' school out of Iowa. It's actually not that far from Chicagoland either. And I've met a couple people who have came out of there that not only come out as really good wrestlers, but they have a really good fitness base work because a lot of the training is focused on CrossFit. So I think that's kind of like a cool way of mixing both fitness and wrestling. And I know down in Texas, of course, you have a reality. I can't even remember what Booker T school is called right now, but Booker T school, a lot of people have came out of there as well that have come out really prepared for the wrestling world.
I believe you're thinking of the reality of wrestling.
Uh-huh. Reality of wrestling. There you go. Yeah. I knew it was reality or something, but that's exactly what I'm thinking of. Thank you.
And I have worked with a few Black and Brave graduates. I definitely endorse them as well. Great school. They turn out some really, really good talents.
Definitely. And I also do think a lot of schools are now catching up on teaching people not only, of course, yeah, you need to know how to take a move and give a move, but also you need to learn on how the business side of it, how to brand yourself, the marketing that comes with it, how your etiquette in the locker room. And I think that was really important because I didn't learn that till later on in my career when I actually was able to train with Taz. And that's why I picked up all the other little extra things that I, you know, that I should have learned in the wrestling world. So
you, of course, also mentioned a little bit of intergender wrestling when you were talking about the commissions. That's been a really, really hot topic in the last few weeks. A lot of people are completely fine with intergender wrestling. A lot of people are completely against it at all times. I feel like a majority is somewhere in the middle where it depends on the circumstances that you're doing it as well as the presentation of it. Where do you stand on intergender wrestling as it relates to 2020?
I am definitely a big fan of intergender wrestling myself. I'm a huge feminist and believe that women should be treated as an equal playing field as if done correctly, of course. Because, of course, you know, you're not going to have like a 90-pound person go up against a 300-pound person. And I say person because it can legit be any gender. It's not believable once you see it. But I definitely believe that if women want to be seen as equals, we should be treated as equals and we should be able to compete with any gender as well. But I think if it's done right, if it's good storytelling, if it's believable and it's entertaining, there's definitely a place for wrestling for it. And I really I could go on forever for this, but I just do want to add that I do think that people should just be good for being good. And because early on, be like, oh, you're good for a girl, or like, oh, you're good for whatever. I feel like people should just be good wrestlers for the sake of being good wrestlers, regardless of their gender or regardless of anything that they identify as. People should just be good.
I agree with that, and I preach that every time someone identifies Aubrey Edwards of AEW as good for a girl. She's good for anybody you want to put in there with
her.
Yeah,
exactly. No, they should just be good. Definitely.
We've hit the part of the show where we have this game we like to play called Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. I'll ask you a series of two options, and the one that you prefer is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
I'm prepared. I think that's a really cool concept. I like it. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. First one, barbed wire match or bull rope match?
Barbed wire match.
Super kick or drop kick?
Drop kick.
Claw hold or abdominal stretch?
Abdominal stretch, old school.
Coffee or orange juice?
Oh, neither. but if I had to pick one, I guess orange juice.
Bus or train?
Train.
Pantry
train
or 7-Eleven?
What was the first one?
Village Pantry.
Oh, 7-Eleven.
Pinfall or submission?
Pinfall.
The AWA or Ring of Honor?
I can say Ring of Honor.
The last one, Hammerlock or Spinning Toehold?
Hammerlock. Foundation.
Absolutely.
That was fun.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that was fun. I like that. That was definitely a cool concept and definitely original, and you get a lot of info in a short amount of time. It was definitely different, definitely a break from the norm. I really like that. So that's definitely, I hope you guys keep that. I don't know if you guys do it often, but that's a good idea.
It is a semi-regular feature here on the show. Well, we know that your jacket made its rounds across the territory, as did you. Is there any plans in place at this point for you to sort of brand the jacket, since everyone's been talking about it for over a year, and come out with some merchandise related to the jacket?
That is such a good idea. My jacket has actually been such a big topic of conversation in any show that I go to, and even some of the shows that Shauna goes to. I have seen so many people take pictures with my jacket, both refers and fans alike. So you know what? That's a pretty good idea. Maybe even if I have a T-shirt with my jacket printed on it, because I don't want to have a jacket for everybody, because then my jacket is not as cool, since I'm not going to be the only person that has it. But maybe that's actually a really good idea. I haven't thought about it till now, so thank you for giving me the idea for it. I'm going to credit you for that when if I do end up coming out with it.
I wouldn't mind picking up a jacket piece of merchandise. It looks like maybe we have a caller with a question, so let's bring him on. We have the caller out of the Northern Illinois area.
Hi, Paloma.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Ryan. I knew it was you right away.
How'd you know it was me right away? Thanks. I feel good. Hi, Paloma's friend. My name's Ryan. Pretty good. Paloma, how's the match?
My match was awesome yesterday, even though I unfortunately was not able to beat Shauna Reed for her Battle on the Border Women's Championship match, a title. It was a really good, solid match. It was very hard fought. It will hopefully be online soon, but I'm pretty sure that's not going to be the last time I face Shauna Reed. We're still going after each other, even though I have my jacket back. I still want her belt.
You're still my friend and my champion in my book, no matter thinking what.
Aw, thank you so much, Ryan. You're the sweetest. Thanks so much for listening in and calling in.
Hey, don't forget to mention February 7th if you know what I'm talking about.
I definitely will.
All right. See you, Paloma. It's the next show.
Bye.
Nisa, all right, out.
Thank you, Ryan. Well, Paloma, you got asked to mention it. You want to bring it up?
I do. So Ryan is a very special friend of mine. He is a Southland Championship Wrestling super fan, and he's definitely known, very well known, probably just as well known as some of the wrestlers there. And he actually invited me to join him for his very special dance called A Shine, A Night to Shine. Which is an awesome dance that was sponsored by the Tim Tebow Foundation in Bourbonnais, Illinois. And I went along at his buddy, and we had a great time. Ryan is actually a great singer. He actually performed a karaoke song with Michael Bublé, which included a dance number and theatrics, and he even called me out, and I got to dance with him, too. We walked the red carpet. He got a crown for King of the Prom. We had lots of fun time. It was really cool being there, and he definitely made me feel special. So Ryan's an awesome dude.
Well, we talked about the jacket getting its own merchandise. Sure that you have a good line of merchandise out there as well. What's some of the merchandise items that fans can expect if they go to watch you wrestle?
Definitely. Of course, I have T-shirts. I have T-shirts with my face on it that has, the Sriracha logo on it that has says Sriracha Muchacha. I also have brand new little Sriracha trucks. They're little matchbox trucks that are red and green that have a Sriracha on it. I also have Sriracha packets. Can you see a sense? Can you see a theme here? Do you see a theme of merchandise that I have?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yep. I also have little Sriracha packets that look like little bottles of Sriracha that I sign as well. And also, I'm going to have some new T-shirts coming soon with different designs besides Sriracha. Mix it up a little bit. And then, of course, the typical 8x10s. Have lots of very different 8x10s. But I'm looking to get new more in March soon, looking for stickers, buttons, and hopefully even bracelets. But I'd always try to switch it up some, because everybody always has the 8x10s and the T-shirts, but I bet you not everybody has sriracha packets or little cards as merch. So definitely always trying to switch it up, so I'm keeping it interesting and having a little bit for everybody.
At this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I'm sure that he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Welcome back, Paloma, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. It's an honor.
Well, Paloma, I saw your YouTube video entitled Paloma Starr versus Heather Owens Steel Cage Match. My first question is, prior to this steel cage match with Heather Owens, how many steel cage matches had you been in prior to this match?
That actually was my first and only so far steel cage match that I've actually been in. I've been involved in a couple of the cage matches where I unfortunately get the short end of the stick, even though I'm not even in the cage match. Like one time I was managing Tony Jones and he was wrestling Austin Riley in Amarillo, Texas, and I unfortunately got Death Valley Driver through a board of barbed wire inside of a steel cage match. I'm like, I'm not even in this match, and I get turned upside down. But the steel cage match versus Heather Owens was definitely my first and only so far. But you know what? I'm not scared. I'm willing to do another cage match when anybody is willing to do it. I'm ready.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, in that match with Heather Owens, your first weapon of choice was a baseball bat, which you used on Heather Owens at the 7-minute and 13-second mark. My question is, were you on a Little League baseball team while you were in grade school? Because some people who are on a Little League baseball team, that's the first weapon of choice they make when they're in an enclosed environment. Were you on a baseball team?
Yeah, we actually was not in any Little League teams, actually. I tried out for the softball team, but after like 1.5 tryouts, I realized it was not for me. But I figured the baseball bat was definitely the easiest weapon to carry that would do the most harm. But unfortunately, that would backfire as Heather Owens would later put me in a trash can and hit me with said baseball bat in the same cage match. So maybe I should have rethought my strategy going into that.
Well, maybe, but you never can tell in the heat of the battle. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Paloma, at the 8-minute and 15-second mark of the match, and again at the 8-minute and 50-second mark of the match, on opposite sides of the ring, Heather set up a yellow caution sign on you. Since then, have you found out if this caution sign has been autographed by Heather and used in the Ring of Honor, or has it been sold on eBay?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure on that, but that would be great if Heather Owens did autograph that and be sold on eBay or turn up somewhere. But this past anniversary show at War, there was another caution wet floor sign that was used in another cage match. Now, I'm not sure if it was the same one or not, but it would definitely be funny if it was. And that just like the sign that ends up being everybody's fall at War, but that's a very good question. I'm not sure, actually. Okay, we should track it down, right? We should track it down, sign it, put it up on eBay.
Yes. Yes, or you could donate this to charity, or maybe Heather could take this outside or somehow get a hold of it and go to the nearest, like, say, Wendy or Jack in the Box and give it to their janitorial crew to cut down on overhead expenses.
Yep, very true.
Well, Paloma, at the 9-minute and 15-second mark of the match, Heather pulled a shoebox out of the trash can, and inside the shoebox was a banana. At the 9-minute and 42-second mark, she took a bite out of the banana and placed it on the mat. At the 9:56 mark, she had a modified toe hold on you, and you landed face first on the banana. At this time, were you glad that the banana had not been dipped in liquid nitrogen? Because liquid nitrogen makes things rock hard. If you dip grapes in liquid nitrogen, they shatter like glass when you drop them on the floor. So my question is essentially, were you glad that the banana was not dipped in liquid nitrogen? That's what I'm trying to get at.
I definitely was very glad that it was just a regular old banana. And it's really funny you mentioned that, because not only was it a cage match, but it was a fans bring the weapons match as well. So that means that a fan thought that it would be a great idea to bring a banana as a weapon for the cage match. So I hope that fan, whoever that is out there that decided to bring a banana to it, I hope they were very happy that Heather used the banana in that way. But one of my friends actually did my makeup that day, and she was sitting in the audience, and she was very sad that my makeup was ruined by the banana.
Wow. Now, that is a fan. I think this is the first time on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show, and the first time in all my years of watching wrestling that I have seen a wrestler pull a banana out of their shoebox that has been provided by a fan. It's the first time ever.
I guess it's the first for everything, right? Including bananas and shoeboxes.
Yeah. In hindsight, I think Heather was glad that the fan had not taken a bite before her out of the banana. I think Heather was happy with that.
I think so, too. There was definitely a lot of other weapons that I saw lying around there that other crazy fans brought into that fortunately were not used on me. So I think there was even a guitar that I ended up trying to play like a regular guitar and ended up hitting Heather with it. So definitely some creative yet twisted individuals out there.
Yes. Now, speaking of guitars that are used in steel cage matches and some that aren't, were you a big fan of the Honky Tonk Man? Because his guitar playing skills were legendary.
I was a little bit of a Honky Tonk fan. I was actually on a show with him not too long ago in Denver, Colorado, and I made sure to be out there for the match, and I really wanted to see him, watch him hit the shake, rattle, and roll in person. It definitely has altered a little bit, as he is definitely a little bit older now, but it was still really cool to see him do that in person.
Well, now, unfortunately, in that match, Heather did get out of the cage at the 17 minutes and 38 seconds of the match after she managed to throw you in one side of the steel cage, kick you in the midsection, and then hit you with a modified stone cage stunner. Now, if I can remember, when she handed the ball outside the cage, she fell through the door. Or did someone hand it to her as she was descending from the cage, from the door?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear all the question. It was a little bit muffled on it. Can you repeat the question one more time? I'm sorry.
Can you hear me a little bit better now?
Yes, that's definitely a little bit better. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I was saying Heather made it out of the cage at the 17 minute and 38 second mark after she managed to throw you into one side of the steel cage and then kick you in the midsection and hit you with a modified stone cold stunner. I can't quite remember when the belt was handed to Heather. Was it when she was descending to the floor when she got outside the cage upon her descent? Or was it after she had gotten all the way on her feet outside the cage?
I believe it's whenever she got on her feet out of the cage, if I remember correctly. I couldn't really swing around a lot since I just got hit with a stunner and I was covered in blood. But I'm pretty sure it was after she got out of the cage, because I do remember looking up and seeing her with her mom, actually embracing with her mom, and when she had the title with her. And that's when I knew I had lost my title, and then unfortunately Heather was actually retiring as War Women's Champion.
Ooh, well, okay. Now, Paloma, I've taken a look and a close-up of that belt as one can get as close as it can on YouTube. And it is a pretty rather large belt. My question is, are you a big fan of Green Day's Sign of the Times? And if so, have you seen the belt that Casey Carlisle holds up on the Sign of the Times? Because those things are as huge. When it comes to winter, have you seen your Sign of the Times?
I do agree with you that the women's belt is really huge. It's actually even bigger than the heavyweight belt that they do have. I do kind of like that there is a little bit slight distinction within the women's titles, just so it can make it a little bit stand out and different. I'm not gonna lie though, wasn't a big fan of like the Butterfly Divas title that they had at one point. Or, you know, also not necessarily just because it's a women's belt, it doesn't necessarily have to be pretty or purple or pink or anything like that. But it definitely is cool when there was a distinction between them. Also, it kind of reminds me of like the UFC women belts as opposed to the counterparts. They're pretty similar, and then they don't have like pretty pink flowers or anything on them. So I definitely do think that there should be like a distinction with them, but it doesn't necessarily have to be based on one stereotype.
Oh, okay. Well, just as a refresher for your memory, we'll try to get you a couple of the Sign of the Times, and you can compare Casey Carlisle's belt to the one that you had in your CSA and compare the same.
That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Paloma, can you tell us about your upcoming war wrestling match on March 7th? It's called Green with Envy. Yes, and your opponent will be Moxie Molly. My question is it true that Moxie has relatives in Belfast, Ireland? That's what I'm getting at.
I'm actually not sure if she does. Maybe I think she does. I know she actually took a trip to there not too long ago, so maybe she does have relatives there. But I guess we'll see. But I've definitely faced her plenty of other times before, and this is going to be for the War Women's Championship belt as well. So definitely will be a good match, and I definitely plan to retain the title as well.
Now, my research has found out that this event against Moxie Molly is going to take place at the Bradfield Community Center. Have you wrestled there before?
I have wrestled there before. That's actually has been War Wrestling's home for about a year and a half now. So I definitely have wrestled there before. It's a pretty solid place to have wrestling matches at, as they have the regular around the ring seats as well up above bleachers, so it makes it for a good distinction. You have fans all over the area up above around the ring, so definitely have been at that venue quite a bit of time.
Wow, Will. Now, Will Steinberg and myself have been to blue collar wrestling events in Portland, Oregon, where they serve a nice chicken fried steak on occasion. And now, chicken fried steak is known to have a nice white gravy on it. And how does it look like my question is, has the Bradfield Community Center ever served chicken fried steak? And have you put your sriracha sauce on it? That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, man. You guys have some really good food up there. I love it. I visited Portland, the Pacific Northwest area, not too long ago, and that was definitely one of my takeaways, that there's always good food up there. But I can't say for certain that there was chicken fried steak at the community center, unfortunately. But War Wrestling always does feed all the wrestlers before every show. There's an awesome catering spread, and I know a lot of other wrestling companies don't do that, so it's always great to have some food available at the show for the wrestlers.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay. Well, Paloma, are there any truth to the rumor that Moxie Molly
has stipulated that the loser of this March 7th match, Green with Andy, with yourself, the loser has to drink a 30-ounce pint of Green Beer that is known to be Bud Light, which is not known to win any contest for facial quality.
I hope it's not true. I mean, if it is true, I definitely don't plan on losing, but I don't want to wish anybody having to drink that much Bud Light. And it's definitely, especially if it's green too, I don't wish that on anybody.
Wow. All right. Okay. Okay. Well, Baron von Manfred, was a German world champion finally that had 80 shotgun fame to the city. Manfred von Richthofen, his manner and posture was the quintessential Russian aristocrat, reserved and rigid, but with the patience and cunning of the instinctual hunter. He found he would only attack from a position of advantage, rarely taking unnecessary risks, and if he was thwarted in aerial combat, he maintained the philosophy of another day, another opponent. His brother Lothar von Richthofen, was by nature hotly impulsive and aggressive, and he was also 2 years younger. Lothar kept to the scrap and flame technique. He had little heed to the or tactical aspect of the situation before he charged in aerial combat, flames out, hair on fire. After observing Lothar's style in aerial combat with his lack of finesse, Manfred von Richthofen dubbed his brother Butcher. Lothar's hot-headedness was undoubtedly a contributory factor in the number of wounds and injuries he received, but he seemed not to distract from his effectiveness as a pilot. As Lothar achieved a remarkable 40 victories in just 77 days of actual combat training. And paradoxically, while Manfred was careful and methodical, his brother, he survived the war and Manfred did not. My question is, do you have a sister that is like Lothar von Richthofen, hot-headed, quick to temper, and hair on fire in battle? Do you have a sister like that?
That definitely had lots of twists and turns for sure. But I don't know if I should say fortunately or unfortunately, but I do not have a sister like that. I don't have any sisters at all. I don't have any brothers or sisters. So, nope, just me. So I do not have a sister like that.
Have you ever had a tag team partner like Lothar von Richthofen?
I think I had a couple of tag team partners that kind of fit that description for sure. Definitely, I've run a couple across those.
Do you yourself place you in the characteristics and mannerisms Manfred von Richthofen, the quintessential Prussian aristocrat, reserve and rigid. Would you be a Manfred? That's what I'm getting at.
Maybe a little bit, maybe certain aspects of it. I don't know so much about an aristocrat, but maybe a couple of options here and there, like a couple of specific characteristics, maybe not all of them.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to put you down as half Manfred von Richthofen, half Lothar von Richthofen, who survived the war. Okay.
That's definitely. I think that would be the best case of description for me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Paloma, The Breakfast Club is one of the quintessential films of the 1980s. And Joan Bender, who was played wonderfully by Judd Nelson,
gave us an inside look at the criminal of the high school that we will not soon forget. Instead of a leather jacket like Fonzie on Happy Days, which was common attire for rebels, John Bender wore a denim trucker jacket. My question is, how big would it have been, or how pivotal in your life would it have been if you could have somehow got a hold of this denim trucker jacket worn by Judd Nelson in your clash with hardcore Heather Owens, if you could have worn that in your Hell in a Cell?
Oh, that would have been pretty cool. That would have been really random, but really cool as well. I feel like if I could have worn that vest, I would have definitely been able to maybe embody him some, and maybe it would have helped me out a little bit more in my steel cage match. So, hey, you never know, but that would have been pretty cool.
Especially if you could reenact the scene where he is in detention with his fellow breakfast clubbers and that teacher comes out of the bathroom and he has toilet paper on his shoe. That would have been huge.
Yeah, that would have been funny.
Yes, I would have paid big money to see you in a Judd Nelson denim jacket. Yeah.
That would have been good.
Okay. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sun Guy, and I am pleased at this moment that I could pass on a little bit of World War I history and advise you that Manfred gone with children had a brother that's not really a combat. Not many people know that.
Thank you so much for passing along that knowledge for me. I don't think I would have known that if it wasn't for you otherwise, so thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Back to you,
Sun Guy. Thank you, QT. Well, Paloma, we had on recently a guest named John Bullard, and he is launching a promotion in the Chicago area, having relocated there from Kentucky, and he is bringing studio wrestling back to that area for the first time in many years. What do you think of studio wrestling, where they wrestle inside of a television studio as the main vehicle for their television programs?
I think it's awesome. Studio wrestling is definitely, I believe, is a lost art that the NWA Power is definitely bringing back to the forefront of wrestling. So I think that's really, really cool, really different. I think I even heard an interview saying something about, like, Lucha Underground was kind of like studio wrestling. But I think that was more studio wrestling in a bigger stage and a bigger budget. But I always remember studio wrestling because it has very promo-focused, lots of interviews. And I think that helps a little bit more with character development and fans being able to be connected with the wrestlers, especially like back in the day with the Four Horsemen. That's when they really got over, and that's when they really, people got either behind them or against them, was during those interview portions of the studio wrestling. So I think it's a really cool concept. I think it's innovative, even though it's been old school and been around for a while. I think everything that's old is new again, so it's pretty cool to see it back.
The NWA is something that is gaining more traction right now with the pay-per-views and the launch of NWA Power. They have Billy Corgan running things behind the scenes. The concept of what the NWA originally was up until the last few years ago seems to be lost right now. It's not really a territorial system where there's members all over the map and they're joining forces to recognize one central champion. Do you think that the climate in wrestling today would negate the success of something like that, where a territorial system isn't going to work? Or do you think that that's something that somebody could bring back and run successfully in this climate of pro wrestling?
Oh, I definitely have something that could be brought back and be ran successfully right now. Like, I think it kind of almost goes back to, like, what's old is new again. But I think it'd be really cool and interesting to see almost an updated type of territory for that. Obviously, you can't have, like, the territories back in the day, like, where each of them have its own independent territory. You don't really know what's going on with the other territories because of, you know, social media and the internet. But I think it'd be really cool to see a new... like a new way of thinking of the territory, kind of like the same system, but having new ways and new modern ways of implementing that. But I think it would be awesome to see that. It'd definitely make it interesting and definitely make it new, especially for newer and younger wrestling fans. I think that'd be really cool to see.
Well, we are down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure you have ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, social medias, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite hot sauce, go right ahead.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for giving me the time to do that. Definitely just want to tell everybody to check out the women's wrestling show that I help co-host on YouTube. It's called Ring the Bell, Bell with an E at the end. I help co-host it with Diaz, who is awesome as well. But definitely go check it out. We do news and rumor videos as well as review the weekly shows, and it's just based on women's wrestling. So lots of fun. It's very cool to do. And also upcoming shows. I have this Saturday in Chibonese, Illinois for Southland Championship Wrestling. I'll be there where I'm currently the women's champion. Also, March 7th, like we mentioned before, I will be in Lima, Ohio for War Wrestling, defending my other championship title. And also, March 8th, I'll be at Galley Lucha Libre Wrestling. And you could follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Paloma Star with two R's. Yay.
Well, Paloma Star, it has been our pleasure having you back on the show. Hopefully we'll do it again much sooner than the space we had between the last time. And congratulations on getting your jacket back from our rival, Shauna Reed.
Right, definitely. Thank you so much for having me back. It's always great to talk to you guys. It's a pleasure. It definitely has been a while, but hopefully it'll be sooner than later next time. And I'm glad to have my jacket back. And, hey, if I end up doing the T-shirts or any merch with jackets on, it's all thanks to you guys. So thank you so much. Hope you have a great day, and hope to talk to you soon.
All right, fans, definitely Paloma Star's on a show near you. Go check it out. Support her. And if you get those Sriracha T-shirts in, I'm sure they're going to be a very hot seller.
I see what you did there. I love it. Very funny.
All right, fans, definitely check out Paloma Star. Pick up some merchandise. Go support your local independents wherever they may be. Be careful if you're traveling over the mountains here in Washington today. But get out there and support the wrestling that's out there if it's near you. And we'll be back with you next week.
Thank you. Bye.